Hi, everybody, and welcome to the FinOps Nexus podcast. I'm your host, John Meyer. Joining me today is Jason Rhodes. Jason, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, John. It's great to be here.
Jason, our topic today in the 15 minutes is talking about post-FinOps, and is there such a thing? Talk to me a little bit more about it.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to think so. Having been at it for a long time, and I see where most people are sort of still on their journey, they're still facing sort of fires almost every day, sort of acute problems that they feel they just kind of can't get past. But I'm here to say that, you know, if you stick with it long enough and put enough investment towards it, you can get to a place where FinOps, for the most part, is sort of a solved problem for your organization. I mean, there's certainly things that will continue to pop up, things like Gen AI or just changes in your business in the cloud that sort of maybe need attention from time to time. But the sort of big struggles around whether it's allocating costs or, you know, maximizing sort of your technical savings and minimizing your waste, like those are places that you can get to, a state essentially where everybody's happy and content with the level of maturity and sophistication, which allows you then to, you know, maybe move on to other problems.
Jason, what I'm hearing from you from that statement alone is that you get so good at the FinOps stuff, the FinOps methodology, that it's all in, like, it's a natural progression for you to move on from it, but still think about it when new things come along, like generative AI or whatever the next topic is or the next new service is.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, part of it is a cultural element, you know, getting it ingrained into the way that, you know, Werner Vogels famously, I think, said at the last reInvent that every technology decision is a purchasing decision. And so some of that is just making sure that, you know, the engineers that are making decisions day to day are understand and informed about the sort of financial ramifications of the choices that they make, and that all the right feedback loops are in place and the right accountability is there so that people, you know, as they're making technology choices, they understand that they have to be made within certain like financial boundaries and constraints, you know, based on their budget and whatnot. But once you've sort of had that in place for a while and for a few years, I mean, certainly, like, you know, there'll be, you know, new people come into your organization, people leaving, but you sort of, once you've reached that critical mass, it sort of becomes a self-sustaining thing where it's just part of the way that everybody operates. And it's not like a change or a shift necessarily that you're going through anymore because you're already there.
So you achieve the culture, right, of implementing FinOps, and then you get to that progression and now it's muscle memory. Everybody's kind of looking at it, and the new service that comes along, you've kind of do a little tweak towards it or handle some of the FinOps methodologies within that service, but you still go about your day-to-day business. Aren't you still kind of doing FinOps along the journey, even though there's a post that you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be different for every organization, but once you've established the sort of systems and mechanisms that ensure that, again, that everybody is, say, aware of their budget, they're aware of what all their costs are and where they're coming from and maybe where their technical waste is, there's no sort of surprise, like nobody's surprised anymore by anything, by what they're seeing. I mean, certainly things may run hot or run cold in certain areas, but you're able to see them early enough and people are able to course correct so that you're just, there's no sort of just, you know, unattended to elephant in the room of problem that you haven't been able to overcome, that everything is just sort of running and working. And, you know, like things like quarterly planning cycles, everybody knows how that goes and the tools are in place to sort of support them in the way that everybody needs. So it's just sort of becomes just part of how everybody's operating. And it's not sort of front of mind for anyone, right? It's just part of the process that we all execute.
So in 2023, we had the FinOps framework, right? And mm-hmm. We had the six principles, and then we had all the domains. Recently in the 2024 framework, what happened is they released all new domain. Well, not all new, but they changed some things around and they changed some of the focus. They changed some of the principles. They changed some of the personas. Do you take some of those changes and say, hey, listen, we're in a post-FinOps. Do you look at those to try to implement, or do you say, hey, listen, we have implemented FinOps to success within our organization, and now we feel that we're not going to go ahead and implement these additional changes, but we're still going to respect the FinOps methodologies?
Where I am today, you know, we got a pretty early start at FinOps, you know, before, I think, the formation of the foundation. And so our sort of having overcome a lot of the sort of fundamental challenges happened really years ago in like the teens, right? 2016 to 2019. And so really the past like 4 or so years have just been really putting kind of the finishing touches on things. So I generally try to stay apprised of emerging developments, you know, in the FinOps org, and also, you know, new things that the cloud vendors are doing that maybe impact what we can do with our internal capabilities. But I guess the position we've been in is we've just sort of been so far out, I mean, it sounds boastful, but just sort of so far out of head of most everybody else that most of our advancement comes from introspection, not from external sources. So I wouldn't say that it's really swayed what we're doing in any way.
When you look at FinOps and implementing it, you don't have to implement every single aspect for your company. There's no one size fits all. You kind of take stuff and tailor it towards your needs. And it sounds like when you guys were the early adopters of it, you've got so good at it that you're able to adjust and adjust on the fly. Nothing surprising towards you. And now all the changes that happen, you're like, yep, we got that. We're on top of that. We saw that coming around. Or you know what? We can implement that tomorrow because we've kind of built the culture around it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if I were to try to put myself in the shoes of an organization or a FinOps practitioner that was sort of just getting started, it's a pretty big world, and it's sort of at a sort of, I call it like a squishy intersection of technology and finance and accounting and other things that there's no like natural, like there's no obvious role that you would have been in before to be like a lot of times you're a finance person or you're a technologist or you're, you know, something like you're always kind of coming to it from some other place. And so I think like, I would certainly advocate that for people that are getting into it and still gaining familiarity, that you take a look at those things, you get to know like all the personas that have a role to play and all the different sort of facets of a healthy and successful FinOps organization, so that you're just considering all those things and you're weighing them against like, what are the needs of my business? Like one of the things I look at a lot is sort of what's the sort of state that the company's in, right? In terms of functions, there are sort of four forces that are always acting upon them. Like number one, like one is we want you to grow. We want you to innovate. We want new features, new things out the door, right? We want to grow top line revenue. But we also say we want to be secure and compliant, right? Like we have maybe, depending on the industry we're in, we have security and compliance things we have to meet. Operationally, we want to be healthy. Like things have to be up and running, especially if there's times where we have peak revenue generation, you know, things have to be operational healthy. And then we also have to be efficient. And I list it fourth, and that doesn't mean that it's necessarily the fourth priority, but there's always like some balance of those four priorities acting upon a development function. And so some of that as a FinOps practitioner, I think it's critical that you be aware, like if you're in a high growth organization, like I think Netflix is a great example of this, that they've just been in a mega growth focused mode for years and years and years. And so a lot of the way that they approach it inside Netflix, and I'm not from Netflix, I can't speak to it as an insider, but in industry, like they're just known as a high growth corporate. So the way they address FinOps is very much like, let's not slow the engineers down. Let's just give them what they need to grow fast. But there's other practitioners at other industries that are maybe much more concerned about margin management and every penny, where efficiency takes a higher priority than maybe growth and innovation does. So I think it's important that you know that, and that as you're shaping your practice, you do so in the context of the sort of state of mind of your broader organization.
Jason, would you say that the roles within your company for FinOps, right? You know, not only the FinOps lead, but the business, the engineering, and the finance, those roles have progressed or changed over time now that you're considering yourselves in a like post FinOps era?
I think what's been critical to our success is a great collaboration and cooperation between those functions. I think if you don't have a really solid trust between, like I myself sort of lead a development that, you know, we're developing our internal capabilities, but I partner very closely with finance, with accounting, with the group we call vendor management that sort of manages the cloud vendor relationships, and also another group called cloud operations, which is very close to the actual technology that all the different teams are using and working with day to day. It really takes all of the, like, form up Voltron or, you know, go Power Rangers. Like you've got to like get all of those things totally on the same page, speaking the same language, and trusting each other. Like one thing I see a lot is like finance and accounting maybe don't trust the technologists. Like somebody's figured out, hey, we need to go buy, you know, RIAs and savings plans, committed use discounts. We need to go spend, you know, potentially millions of dollars on these things, and it'll save us a lot of money. But if you're not able to gain that trust, like with your finance and accounting organizations, that whole effort is going to be hamstrung because they're not going to, like, hey, they're saying they want millions of dollars, but is this really going to work? And I see a lot of organizations kind of stuck there because they haven't established that that trust and common understanding. So I think, again, for us, that's been a key part of our success. And it's definitely something, if you're coming in as like the sole FinOps person, mission one, I think, is to start to build that cross-functional team and collaboration, because you're going to need it for years and years to come.
And that's probably how you're so successful, considering the post-FinOps era that you're talking about. Jason, real quick, I got to wrap things up, but my last question for you is, typically within FinOps, you're reviewing daily reports. You have anomaly detection, alerting, mm-hmm. all these capabilities that when costs jump up, and you do something as a team, you report upon it, you look at it. Are you still doing those today?
I'd say it's mostly a distributed thing, in that we've been successful at having distributed accountability for cloud costs and budgets and things. So there's hundreds of development teams across the organization that each sort of understand their slice of the cloud pie. And so it's their job to sort of be watching that day to day. We do, from the center, provide a little bit of eye in the sky kind of overwatch. So we have some of our own anomaly detection that it's sort of been a struggle. And I'm sure there's 100 vendors out there who claim to have solved it. But in our experience, cloud cost anomaly detection is very hard to do. And so we sort of have a process where we have our own regimes that run that produce data that it finds compelling. And then we have somebody on our team kind of just look at that every day. And occasionally there's something that pops out. Hey, okay, this is interesting. We'll go escalate that with the team to just to double make sure that they know about this and have seen it. But a lot, it's very challenging to do, to produce something that's like pure signal. In our experience, most of these things are just noisemakers. And so it takes sort of a human looking over it to turn it into a high quality product.
Jason, are you past putting out the fires or reducing the costs, and now you're just doing tweaks along the way for improvements or processes or using new like instances or service types?
Yeah, I mean, the technology change is a constant. So, helping development teams across the organization, make good choices, understand the financial implications of going this way versus that way. I think that's a constant sort of thing. And again, the complexity, and there's so many ways to skin the cat in the cloud that the notion that like you can just have it all solved, I don't think is very realistic. It's almost like how many different colors does a painter have, right? It's infinite, right? I think like a lot, like all of the common stuff we have pretty well, people have the tools they need to understand, but with exceptional cases, sometimes we'll still need to help teams out, understand what things are going to look like if they make a change or with a new deployment, things like that.
Jason, I got to really stop saying I have one last question because I have so many questions, and I'm looking at the clock and I was like, okay, I still have another minute. I can squeeze in one more. Jason, it might be my last. I don't know. It depends on how long you answer it. But really, how do you onboard new people, new skill sets within the consideration that they're going to be doing FinOps?
Well, yeah, I mean, so there's kind of two. I mean, there's like, say, a new engineer that comes to the company, which hopefully, like, we do have a training that we, so there's all sorts of different, like, corporate trainings people have to take. So we have one that's specific around, cloud cost and FinOps for people that are engineers out there in the world. When somebody joins my team, there is, an onboarding process. Had probably a dozen different people I've worked with on my own team over the years do this. So we tend to be a very data-driven team. So a lot of the way we approach problems is to look at the underlying data and use the data to solve the problem. But that's just one way of doing it. So to me, like somebody coming into FinOps, at least where I am, it's less about, do you understand cloud and cost? It's more like, do you understand data and data analysis? Because I can teach you the cloud, but I probably can't teach you like the advanced data skills that you're going to need to be an effective FinOps practitioner, at least where I am.
Definitely training, understanding the data, analysis, trusting the data, the communication, the collaboration is all going to get you to not only FinOps, but advance at it. And I can't say that I will ever achieve post FinOps, but I've actually talked to a number of people, and where they're at is FinOps has been implemented like you early on, and now they're looking at more of implementing small things and sliding them in and still handling it in a FinOps fashion and culture, but they're still not running and hurrying up and trying to do a lot of cost savings because they got those under wraps.
Yeah, I'd say we're at the same place. So it's sort of like we've completed the main quest of the video game. There's still little side quests and things that pop up from time to time, but I think the main mission really has been accomplished for us at this point, yeah.
All right. Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Anytime, John.
All right, everybody, this has been the FinOps Nexus podcast, and we were talking about the post-FinOps era with Jason Rhodes. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, and notify, because we're out of here.